Second, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and children of all ages, you are now tuned into the Investor Show. Let me close this screen behind me. Y'all, give me 1 second here. 1 second, let me close this door. Oh. All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and children of all ages, you are now tuned into the Investor Show. As always, this is your gracious host, the Prince of Investing, Prince Dykes, coming to you guys and girls live all the way from the beautiful city and state of Denver, Colorado. Don't forget to hit that like, subscribe, comment, and share button. And as always, I don't have a lot of time. Now, definitely you guys and girls don't have a lot of time, so we're going to jump straight into it. So as you're coming in live, feel free to tell me where you're from. And all of the great stuff like that. Let me go ahead and get this banner rolling at the bottom. We got a lot of drama going on. You know, we've seen stocks now have been in a sell-off pretty much all week. We're in the middle of election. We're in the middle of earnings. Stimulus talks pretty much have just disappeared, right? But we've seen stocks drop 900 points a day, the worst we've seen since June in the last couple months. But we're going to take a look at mortgage applications. We're going to take a look at Microsoft earnings as well. So if you're coming in, tell me where you're from. I'll definitely give you a shout out if you are catching this live or if you're catching a playback. But the thing, ladies and gentlemen, when I look at all the stocks sink, you know, you're talking about, let's get into that first. When I look at all the stocks that are sinking across the board, you're talking about the Dow Jones, the NASDAQ, the S&P 500, you're talking about the Dow Jones, the NASDAQ, the S&P 500, all have been on a decline for the last few days. You're talking about cases that are coming out here with the pandemic is going on. We're in the middle of the election that's going on. We also have earnings seasons going on. And it makes people think when we see big declines like this in the market, we start to assume that, hey, are worse times to come? Is this just the beginning? So one thing that I was studying pretty well the other night, I was studying the market crash in 1929. I always revert back to the market crash in 1929 because that was the worst market crash we have ever seen. So y'all give me 1 second here. Let me file this. I was looking for this thing. So before the show, I was looking for this. I couldn't find it. Then all of a sudden, it just pops up. I want to make sure I don't lose it. But the thing is, you got to ask yourself the question, are we in a situation where, how bad are we in this situation economically? I know what people like to say, you know, we look at and say, hey, my job, I've lost my job. This person doesn't have a job, but we have to look at it financially to be a professional, right? For prime example, I can go tell a friend, hey man, you know what? My shoulder hurts. And my buddy will say, hey, you have a joint problem. You know, and with that joint problem, you should, I don't know, go to therapy, right? Versus if I went to a professional or a doctor and say, hey, my shoulder, if they're a good doctor, maybe they may ask me some questions. They may run some blood tests. They may run some x-ray exams. They may ask me a good bit of questionnaires, and then they would diagnose me. So they're going to make their decision based off of actual data, meaning like, hey, your blood work says this, your iron is low, your blood is high, whatever. The case, I'm not a doctor, I'm just hypothetically speaking. They're going to say, hey, a professional is someone who's going to give you a reason why this is probably happening. I think that you have XYZ due to your family history, due to your blood work, due to your weight, due to your x-rays, due to XYZ, right? All type of exams they can run. So The same thing in finances. We look out the window, we look at stocks, we say bad economy. Then we look around us, we say bad economy. What I like to do on this show here is to look up financial data that that's going to back up what I'm looking for, right? So I'm looking for financial data. Okay, we dropped 900 points. Is this fear? Is this greed? Is this a sign of worse times to come? So as a financial professional, you're going to be looking at things like earnings. Are you reading the earnings reports or corporations making more or less money? Or people going into foreclosure? Are houses being foreclosed on? What is the foreclosure amount? What is unemployment? Unemployment numbers, foreclosure amount, earnings amount. At the end of the day, that's all the data I can look at and say, hey, to form a decision on what's going on tomorrow. Also, manufacturing data. People love to look down on manufacturing workers. People love to say, oh, you work in a factory, blah, blah. That is the cornerstone of America. This shirt I have on is probably was made in a manufacturer. My hat clippers I got in my bathroom, that was probably made in a manufacturer. I'm pretty sure it was, right? So everything manufacturing. Manufacturing slowdown is a great indicator of a bad economy to come. So what you have to do, these are called leading economical indicators. I want you to write this down. Please comment and say leading economical indicators. These are things that happen in the economy to tell you. These are indicators that is in front of the economy to tell you what's to come. A leading economic indicator could be manufacturing hours. How many hours are manufacturing hours working? Are they working more hours? Are they working less hours? If they're working more hours, that means they're increasing product, things like that or whatnot. Another thing people look at is earnings, corporate earnings. For prime example, Microsoft put out its earnings yesterday. How many people sat down and went through Microsoft earnings to see how much money are they earning? Also, we had a company that I won't say a big investor, but a nice size investor into Enphase, right? That's a company I read its earnings report. We read Tesla earnings report here. So if I read the earnings report and I see earnings declining, or if earnings are declining, that means they're probably going to start laying people off. That is an indicator of what's to come. Slow, stagnant earnings. So we're going to do that on the show today. We're going to look at the real estate market. I want to see, are people losing houses? Are people in forbearances? Are people in foreclosure? Are people buying houses? What's going on? Also, we're going to take a look at Microsoft earnings. Microsoft earnings gave a signal to another industry. Microsoft earnings, if you read Microsoft earnings, you will see they gave a signal to another success of another industry, right? So with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to get into our first topic. Well, you know what? I want to bring this up. This is what I want to bring up, oil real quick. People always ask me, Prince, what do you think about oil? I wasn't a big energy investor due to the fact of energy was so subject to oil, right? So energy was so subject to oil, I didn't have any, I didn't want to get involved with it because oil is so skeptical. So right here, you're seeing this came out today. The Treasury, this is from the Department of the U.S. Treasury. This is from the treasury.gov. This is from the U.S. Department of Treasury, so you won't say I made this up or you heard this from somewhere else. This is what the Department of Treasury released today. The Treasury Department sanctioned key actors in Iranian oil sector for supporting Islamic Revolution Corps ops forces, right? I forgot what they call it. That pretty much they're saying, hey, these people that was producing oil, making oil money, they are the ones that's getting behind terrorists, right? So right now, they got a sanction on these oil companies. And this right here, I'm bringing this up real quick. This is why I'm not a big believer, buyer into oil. Do I know oil will be around forever? Yes, I know. But it's too unstable. You know, oil is based off of supply and demand. And the most unstable region of the world is in the Middle East. You know, from what I can see, when it comes down to the government being unstable, one day they're fighting each other. One day they're friends. One day they're coming at America. One day America is going at them. One day somebody pumped too much oil. Somebody drove the oil prices up. Somebody drove them down. It's just too much. Now look at this right here. I can wake up and kind of find out Iran supported somebody. And you're talking about You're cutting into my profits just that fast. Too unstable. I wanted to highlight this because I know I spoke about this in the past about oil and my thoughts on oil and other good stuff like that. So as y'all come in, y'all hit the like, subscribe, comment, share button, all of the good stuff. Now, you got to ask yourself, mortgage. Oh, before I get into this, let me see what y'all saying in the comments. What y'all are saying in the comments. All right, somebody said, hey, Prince from Facebook. Hey, how you doing? Lucky's mom, how you doing? Out of Jacksonville, Florida. She's a holder in Southwest Airlines. The whole industry, when I see the whole entire industry go down. So for prime example, if I own a portfolio, and I know you own Southwest Airlines, if I take a look at Southwest Airlines and see, wow, it went down 2-3%, what is Delta doing? Oh, Delta is down as well. What is American Airlines are doing? Oh, the entire sector is down. Well, let's see what the market is doing. The Dow Jones is down. The NASDAQ is down. So everybody is down. So now I know it's not anything you have to do with your finances. This is when I look for key buying opportunities. So if it has nothing to do with finances or why you fail and the whole market fail, this is a buying opportunity. You're seeing companies release great earnings, but due to everybody's scared, the market is selling off, buying opportunities. Ms. Ruby from Memphis, Tennessee. This week we have coming up on Friday morning, we will see the earnings. Well, Thursday afternoon, or tomorrow afternoon, Friday morning, we will be seeing Apple's earnings. We got Apple, Amazon, Facebook going to be coming out after the market close tomorrow. Very big day for the NASDAQ. It's kind of being dampered with the whole antitrust situation, but that's a very big day. How you doing, Ms. Ruby? Thank you for tuning in. Tampa, Florida. Okay. So I'm thinking this is the same person from Facebook from Tampa, Florida. So we got Tampa, Florida, Memphis, Tennessee, Jacksonville. Eric Higgins said, much love from the University of South Carolina, Tampa Bay, Florida. Okay, Tampa's in heavy. We got two people from Tampa today. All right. And then he says, King Carter says, what's up? What's going on, King Carter? That's our stunt man out there in New York City, right? How you doing, King Carter? Also, who else we got in here? Miss Melanie. How you doing, Miss Melanie? She's out of Miami, Florida. Miami, Florida. He said the S Dow was looking good today. Yes, the S Dow is looking good. The S Dow is the it's a bearish leverage ETF, meaning that as the market goes, as Dow Jones goes down, this thing gains value, right? It's a leverage bearish ETF. So if the market goes down, 1%, this goes up like 2-3%. So yes, very good day, 900 points off the Dow Jones. You know, it's been a very good week for the S Dow, I would say that. Brandon said, I dropped my Air Canada stocks today. Why? This is the worst time to sell. What was the reason, Brandon? Did you sell it because it was just going down? You got scared? Why? Why did you sell? In a time like this, I only sell if the finances look bad. If I have a strong financial company, I own Microsoft. Microsoft just released good earnings. Its guidance wasn't that awesome, but Microsoft left a huge imprint on what's to come. So when you look at Microsoft, why am I selling? Do you need the money? What are you doing? Miss Crenshaw, okay. My Janice from Crenshaw. She said, hey, Prince, Bay Area in the building. Okay, the Bay Area do come in and show. I do get a lot of people from the Bay Area that does catch it live. So thank you. Thank you, Miss Crenshaw, for checking it out in the Bay Area. All right. St. Louis, Entanglement L, it's from St. Louis. Okay, we got St. Louis, the Bay Area, Canada, New York, Miami, Tampa, Memphis, Jacksonville. Hopefully I didn't miss anybody. Oh, and we got Detroit, Michigan. Fred Harris from Detroit, Michigan. Thanks, Fred. Thank you for tuning in tonight. Brandon Webb says, 30% down on my investment. My main issue was I brought in late. Well, you could have overpaid, right? Now you got to look at Air Canada. Do you know the finances of Air Canada, Brandon? Do you know the finances? So you say he's down 30%. So, okay, the Matt guy says, do you think it's worth buying any airlines? The only airlines that I will buy, the only airlines that I own personally is my son has, you know, my son's name is Wesley. And I think he loves Southwest because it has West in it, and we call him West. So, you know, I think that's why he likes Southwest. I think he likes the colors or something. So I brought him a nice chunk of Southwest Airlines, and he's up on it still. But the thing about it is with Southwest Airlines and Delta are the ones that have the best finances that I know will make it through the other side. I think that once the stimulus package finally gets passed, I don't think the stimulus package is going to happen before the election. It will happen after the election. And I think that, I think they will get a stimulus package. They will do well, but I don't think it's going to be no overnight thing. I think you're going to have to wait until next year with airlines. I was a very big component in the airlines in the beginning of the year. That's before I knew how long this pandemic thing was going to pan out and linger around. Here we are in the fall talking about a second wave of this going on or whatever the case may be. So, airlines wouldn't be a big thing I would be big on right now. It'll take a while. It'll take a while for you to see your return on investment, depending on your investment strategy. And if I was to buy an airline, it would only be Southwest and Delta due to their finances and due to my belief that they will make it to the other side. Unfortunately, I don't think some airlines will make it to the other side. And I think the ones that won't make it to the other side are the smaller ones, like the Hawaiian Airlines that I saw. It's some small, very unprofitable airlines out there. I don't know if they're going to make it. So if I was to go one, I would go with the big, sturdy ones. Brandon said, with another wave coming, I may as well buy in again later. But you took that loss. You took the loss. Why take the loss? If you invested $100, you're saying you was down 30%. That means that now you're down to $70. You sold, recognized the $30 loss, hypothetically speaking, for what reason? If you're going to buy back into it, why not just hold it and buy more? Unless you need the money for something else. Puff Puffer says, airlines won't go up until 2023? 2023, ooh, that's a while. It depends on the bailout. I can see 2022 the latest. They got to have a turnaround by then. Unless with the stimulus package, they do the next stimulus package, depending on the guidelines of the next stimulus package. And who takes the next stimulus package. So I don't see 2023. I think that's a little far out. I could see a 2022 maybe, but 2023, that's a little far out. Cleveland, Ohio. Tony, what's going on? We got Tony here from Cleveland. So we got Cleveland, Canada, Detroit, St. Louis, the Bay Area, New York, Miami, South Carolina, Tampa, Memphis, Jacksonville is in the building. Okay. Oh, okay. We got Earl Murray. Earl Murray, hey, man, I saw you do a before and after picture. You lost some weight, man. Congratulations on your weight loss journey. I'll give Earl a congratulations on his weight loss journey. I saw that. That was very motivational. Now, when I get out of here, I got to go do some on the bench press just for you. All right. Thank you. Very motivational. I like to see stuff like that. I like to see people get better. Okay, Puff Puffer saying don't buy airlines. Well, you can't say this, Puff, because you don't know what somebody – I don't know what someone's investment strategy or investment idea is, right? Now, if I had $100 to put in the market right now and I wanted to make money by the end of the year, airlines would probably not be the place I'll be looking. I will tell you the place I'll be looking when I look into Microsoft. But when I look at that, I would not be – I can't sit here and say – because I don't know what someone's investment strategy is. Someone may love airlines and their investment horizon may be 2-3 years down the line, right? It depends on what their horizon is, what their risk is. And some people may only have $30 because airlines are very cheap. That's why they're very attractive, right? Airlines are so cheap because think about it. I think the most expensive airlines is Southwest. And it's like, what, $40? Not even $40? So people are attracted to that. So I don't know. You know, you tell them to buy, hey, go buy Pylon. How much does that cost? I think Pylon's about, what, $120? So it depends. Okay. Eric Higgins says, do you think Plug Power has improved from March 2020? Plug Power. That's a stock, if I'm not mistaken. I don't think I've ever looked into Plug Power. We can look into that. We could come back to that when we have time in the show. Right? So here we go here. Boeing said that. Yeah, Boeing is, they're hard on airline. Are you talking about to 2023? Yes. I mean, that's a little far out. I mean, that's what Boeing said. I think it's a little far out. I think that we should be getting a wrap on this by next summer. I could be wrong. But I think that airlines, according with these new stimulus packages they're going to get, they could be a little bit more profitable. No problem, Eric, man, anytime. Melanie said, congratulations, Earl. Okay. Let's get into this real quick. I mainly take it, invest in cobalt, zinc. These are better long-term investment. I cut my losses in terms of that. That's for sure. Okay. Well, you decide to cut your losses and move to another sector. So you're rotating sectors. Nothing wrong with that. One of the hot sectors, and we're going to get onto that, Brandon, too, later on the show. I'm going to talk about one of the hot sectors I believe in. She said, I planned on holding Southwest for a while. See, that's a difference, right? Lucky's mom is saying, hey, I have a two-year horizon. I can hold it for a while. That's okay, right? But do I think something's going to happen anytime soon? The only jump I can see is stimulus packages. But the stimulus talks are pretty much just died off. We got the election coming up next week. We got earnings coming out. We got the cases are getting worse. People are getting scared. So that's how I look at it. He said it was an impulse buy against my stomach. Anyhow, a friend has suggested it, and I don't feel right about it from the beginning. Okay. Air Canada, I'm not sure about them. We're going to look into it. He said, I'm looking into new dividend stock, AMCR. Why are you interested in dividends, Lucky's mom? Are you looking for income, a residual income? I would tell you, if you know, what is your time horizon? If you're like, hey, I'm trying to earn money, that could be one thing. But think about when you draw dividend stocks, some people are looking for growth. You know, if you're investing for 10 years down the road, AT&T pays a large dividend. AT&T is a dividend aristocrat. I think it's a dividend king. Coca-Cola is a sturdy company that pays a nice dividend. Verizon pays a nice dividend. The list goes on with companies that pay 3-4% in dividends annually, right? But you got to ask the question, what is your purpose? Because you could be increasing your tax liability by increasing in stocks like that. Okay. The tax liability. So even when you get those dividends, even if you don't pay them, you could end up paying taxes on them. If you pay taxes on them, that increases your cost basis, which is advantageous to a portfolio that's looking for a 10-year down the line growth. Something took me a while to learn. But if you are looking for income, that's different. He said, I'm liking LMT. I know that's Lockheed Martin, RTX. I'm not sure. All right. Some are predicting Tesla will drop to 300 at some point this year. Do you agree? Oh, Tesla 300? If the entire market drops, yes. But Tesla by itself, no. If we have a big sell-off market crash, then I can see Tesla taking a drop just like everybody else. But if the market consolidates, me going sideways or goes up, I can't see that. So as y'all are coming in, don't forget to hit that like, subscribe, and share button. If you are coming in, don't forget.
Hit the subscribe button. Hit the bell icon. Hit that like, comment, and share button.
So now my question is, mortgage applications. Let's take a look at mortgage applications, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to head over here to the handy dandy. If you follow this show, you should already know where I'm going to head. We're going to go to the Mortgage and Bankers Association weekly mortgage applications. Now, why is this important? Mortgage applications, why do I pay attention to mortgage applications? Because how do I know the economy is weak or strong? I like to look at how many people are buying houses. Are more people buying houses or less people buying houses? How many people are going into foreclosure? How many people are filing in forbearances? Forbearances is a great indicator of if more people are in a forbearance and it's that, and that number is increasing, that could let me know that, hey, we could be, people are experiencing hard times. If people are buying houses, this is not like back in 2007 where they give anybody a house. Getting houses now are a little bit more difficult. You got to have a credit report. You got to prove you had the income. You got to prove you had the money in the bank in order to purchase a house. So if people are in position to purchase houses, that could be a good sign of the economy. When I see mortgage applications declining, that will let me know, the market is probably headed for a downturn. When I see manufacturing hours decrease, that could, manufacturing hours or productivity decrease, that could let me know, hey, we could be heading for a downturn. So this is how you can speak intelligently, right? This comes out on October 28th. This is from the Mortgage and Bankers Association. Mortgage applications have increased in the latest MBA weekly survey. So right here, mortgage applications, we're going to read it right here. I'm going to read it right here what they said. So mortgage applications to buy a home were flat compared to the prior week, but overall activity remained strong this fall. Applications jumped 24% compared to last year. And the average loan size reached another record of $372,600. So this is telling me, compared to this time last year, people that are applying for the homes have increased by 24%. And the average home size mortgage is $372,000. That's the average, what you call it. These results highlighted just how strong the upper end of the market is right now. With an oversized growth rate and higher loan size category, for the most, housing inventory shortages have pushed national home prices considerably high. Housing inventory shortages have pushed national home prices considerably higher on an annual basis, says Joel Klein. He's the MBA's Associate Vice President of Economics and Industry Forecasting. Refinancing activity has been somewhat volatile over the past few months, but did increase almost 3% last week. With the 30% fixed rate at the MBA all-time survey low of 3%. Conventional refinancing rose 5%. However, the government refinancing index decreased for the first time in a month, driven by a slowdown in VA refinancing activities. So essentially what this is saying is that the 30-year fixed rate right now is about 3%, which is pretty low. Very low interest rate. Low interest rates come from Jerome Powell, who's the Fed chair of who's the chairman of the Fed. In March, he lowered interest rates, which started everybody to refinance. People start to qualify for homes. People start to purchase homes. This is very important because I look at how many people are buying houses. What are they buying? Are home prices starting to decline, right? So you have to be aware of what's going to happen next in the economy. This is how I can look and say, well, what's going to happen next? If we're in a very weak economy, how can people buy houses, right? Prince, what does this have to do with stocks? So when I see stock sell-offs, 900 points, stock sell-off, 300 points, stock selling off all this week, I'm looking at the economical data. Okay, if mortgage work, if manufacturer workers are working more and more, manufacturer workers is a leading indicator. Manufacturer workers are working more and more. I'm looking at Are people buying homes? Are people being foreclosed on homes? How many people are in forbearance? Unemployment numbers. These things are very important because I'm trying to understand, is the economy as bad as the market is reacting to it? Because it could be a bunch of fear sitting in. Or if I have economical data, if I see people in forbearance starts to increase, if I see foreclosures start to increase, less people are starting to buy houses, that could be a sign of an economical slowdown to come ahead. And then I would say, well, this movement in the market is justified. But if I see the leading indicators holding up, doing okay, right? And I see massive sell-offs in the market, that lets me know fear has set in with some people. People are looking at their investment. Their fear starts to set in, man. You know, think about it. When stocks go up, everybody's a genius. Everybody's a genius. What I told you, yeah, look, it went up, it went up. But when stocks go down, that's when people start to, oh, my God, oh, geez, maybe this is wrong. Without looking at the whole picture. Of course, your portfolio is down. If you are a bullish person, meaning if you're a long person, meaning you're on the upside, if you're a bullish person, of course, your portfolio is down. Why is your portfolio down? The whole market is down. The whole market has been down over and over this week. Now I look at it and I'm looking to say, as an investor, is the market down because the economy is bad or is it down because of fear? What's the difference? In order for me to understand the difference, I have to go back and study the crashes of 1929, 1987, 2000, 2001, 2008, 1907, and the last 100 years. What did they look like? What were people saying and thinking? Forgot to bring my lip balm down here, but that's okay. Now, next, we're going to go into what people are looking at. Microsoft earnings. How many people out there read earnings reports? How many people are going to read the earnings report? Because the earnings report, they give out a forward-looking statement. And we talked about this, how Chipotle signaled Uber's success. We talked about how Tesla, if you read Tesla, Tesla would tell you Apple is going to have roughly around about $5 billion. I think there's probably around $2 billion. Some around $1 or $2 billion extra in cash just from the stock split. So we're going to take a look at this. Let me see what y'all are saying in the comments. All right. He said, wouldn't that be awesome if Tesla dropped to 300 points? Yes. Right? Now, if they dropped to 300 points because their income declined, the car demand for the car started to decline, the expenses increased, that's not so awesome. But if it just fell because of fear, hey, that's a great sale. Oh, RTX is Raytheon. I knew I saw RTX somewhere. Raytheon, United States, Tech. Yes, I know who they are. Okay, Raytheon and United Tech Aerospace Division merged and are RTX now. Got it. Thank you for educating me on that. That's very good. I like Raytheon. Raytheon's a big, I think it's like number, it's one of the top four government contractors too, just like LMT. All right, LK Raw, what's going on? LK Raw is in the building. Made my night. Dividend income, he says, LK Raw says, dividend income is fine if you have about $500K worth of stock. I have to invest in growth stocks or stocks with a high upside. I'm still searching for that million ticket, what he really trying to say. But yes, he is right. Companies that pay high dividends usually don't grow that fast, right? Like AT&T, look how much growth AT&T have had over the last 4 years. Because instead of keeping the money into the company, dividends are taxed twice. First, the company has to pay dividends. Then they give it to the shareholders. Then the shareholders have to pay dividends on the retained earnings. Dividends reduce a company's retained earnings. for the longest. I was a very big dividend person. I used to love to log in and look at that dividend payment and blah, blah, blah. But right now in life, I do not need an extra income. I don't need to make money from dividends. I want growth, right? How can you tell which company is growing? You look at the beta symbol, the NBA, not the NBA, the beta symbol, right? The beta, anything above a one means it's growing faster. It has more volatility than the market. Number two, is their revenue growing? Is their gross profits growing? Is their retained earnings growing, right? That's what I look at for the future. Look at Zoom. Zoom has so much retained earnings. Zoom went from $150 million, right, to, I can't remember the number I saw up there, but, you know, no, it went from 150,000 to 200 and something million in a matter of 6 months. That's a lot of retained earnings Zoom has. What do you think the company's going to do with that retained earnings? If it was paying dividends, half that retained earnings go back to the shareholder. It would come back to me. I don't want that. I'd rather you keep those dividends and continue to grow the company. I want Zoom to go buy Skype. I would like Zoom to go buy whatever the case may be, right, to grow their platform. Thank you, Eric Crayraw. I'm looking at that too. Yes. So right now, Lucky's mom, if you already have a job, you already have an income, you don't really need an income or whatever the case may be, and you're like, hey, I'm investing for next, like you were saying, I'm a long-term holder in Southwest, I'm a long-term holder and things like that or whatnot, then what you should do is take your, I would say you should be looking at growth companies that don't pay dividends. Facebook don't pay a dividend, but I bet you the investors in Facebook from 5 years ago are not complaining. Amazon hasn't paid a dividend. The people who have been invested for Amazon for the last 5 or 10 years, I guarantee you they're not complaining. Microsoft, but it does pay a little dividend. Apple just started paying a little dividend not too long ago. But my point is, you had look at the company like Zoom, who's had an awesome year. It benefited from the pandemic. But when you look at this, you have to look at how, what are the companies doing with their earnings? We're going to look into an earnings report too, so you can see it, Lucky's mom, how dividends affect the company's earnings. Man, my mouth is dry. I should say, do you see a market crash coming before the year ends? Are you speaking like a crash that we saw earlier in March? I think if we see a Senator Biden win, I think we will see a market decline. But about a year in, no. Personally, no. I think we'll be in the risk of it if we have a Biden win. Nothing against Biden, you know. But I think there's something new on Wall Street. I don't know. I think it'd be good for energy stocks, but in stocks in general, when you get a new president, remember when President Trump got elected, the market went down drastically, right? Because it's something new. Everybody's like, oh my God, this guy's going to ruin the country and the economy and whatnot. So by the year end, I can't foresee it. And I mean, I wish I had a crystal ball to tell me. If I knew the market was just going to zoom throughout the year, I mean, I would invest crazy. I would be on the bullish side. If I knew the market was going to crash by the end of the year, I would invest on the bear side. But that's something, I don't have the crystal ball. All I can do is look at financial data and look at financial statements and say, well, things look good. How am I supposed to know? All right. Dividend growth stocks tend to be growth stocks long term. Example, Starbucks. Yes, that's true. Apple wasn't a really big dividends paying stock until about a couple of years ago. McDonald's, that's true. Visa is true. Apple is true. Yes, that's true. But those are not big, heavy ones. They pay like 1%, no more than 2%. If you get into the heavier dividend paying stocks like AT&T and Verizon, right? Coca-Cola, the ones who pay a nice size dividend for a long period of time, that's when you don't see their growth compared to particular growth stocks. When you now have Starbucks, Apple, Home Depot, Visa, McDonald's, and Apple done well, yes. But when you line them up against a Google or Amazon, maybe not as much. Google doesn't pay a dividend. Amazon doesn't pay a dividend. I can't even think of some other ones. Some growth stocks have done extremely well, but that doesn't pay dividend. Apple started doing that, I want to say, about a year or two ago. It always did. It used to not pay dividends for a while, but it does it now. Tori Williams, love your program. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you. Love you too for being here, Tori Williams. LK Raw said, when stocks go up, consider it a sell and load up. He said, when stocks go down, I'm sorry. LK Raw says, when stocks go down, consider it a sell and load up on all of the top companies that you can afford. Sit back and wait for the flight back up. You're 100% correct. The top big companies, when I go in, I look at my watch list. I already have my watch list. And the ones that stick out to me the most are the ones that drop the most that day. I look at it, I'm like, ooh, you dropped 3%? I'm going to buy a company that dropped 3% versus a company that dropped 1%. The entire market is down, right? Daniel Griffin. Griff? You know who I'm talking about, Griff. Daniel Griffin. Nate, so I'm going to try to look at your – I can't look at your picture and tell if that's you or not. He said, I'm new to the finance world. I love learning new things. Thanks for the video. No problem. Thanks, Dan. I think I know you. Mr. Jiggle 890 says, my favorite number to look at a growth of free cash flow per share every time. Exactly. We're going to go over that today. We're going to go over that here in a little bit. All right. He says IBM, Facebook, no dividend. Yes, Facebook doesn't pay a dividend, but I'm pretty sure the investors are not complaining. So now we're going to jump into Microsoft earnings signal. Let me pull this up. Let me share the screen here for the people that are catching this live. Oh, I thought I already had pulled this up. Thought I had already pulled it up. Y'all give me 1 second here. MSFT. All right. I already had this pulled up on this particular one, but don't worry about it. I got it. Okay. Let's see here. That's on December 2nd. Okay, PowerPoint. Now give me 1 second. I don't want to look at the PowerPoint. Okay, 1 second. 1 second here. Here we go. Move this out. You stop that and bring this one in. All right. This is their press release from yesterday, and I wanted to put in a press release because you've got to watch and look what they said. So here we go. This is Microsoft press release on the 27th, which was yesterday. Came from Redmount, Washington. Microsoft Corporation today announced the following results for the quarter ending in September 30th. Their revenue increased by 12% to $37 billion. Operating income increased by 25% to $15 billion. Their net income increased by 30% to $13.9 billion. And their diluted earnings per share rose by 32% to 1.82. All those good numbers and the stock went down, I don't know, 3%. That tells you when the stock is going down and they have earnings to back it up, all of their revenue is increasing, the operating income is increasing. Why is the stock trading down? Some people, they were saying, oh, due to the future, whatever. I'm looking at the real numbers. So here we go. Let's see here. Let's see what I wanted. Okay. This is the key. This is the signal that I saw here. Demand for our cloud offering drove a strong start to the fiscal year, with our commercial cloud revenue generating $15.2 billion, up 31% year over year, said Amy Hood, the Executive Vice President and Chief Financial Officer of Microsoft. We continue to invest against a significant opportunity. Ahead to drive long-term growth. Demand for the cloud went up 31%. So the cloud, how do I know what keyed this for me? Who remembers Snowflake? If you remember a company by the name of Snowflake, right? Snowflake is a cloud computing company, right? One second here. Snowflake is a cloud computing company. So Snowflake came out earlier this year, it IPO'd. It probably had one of the largest IPOs so far this year. And I was kind of wondering, I didn't jump in on it. You know, it got a lot of steam because Warren Buffett purchased into the IPO, something Berkshire really never does, but they did. And it looked very interesting. So I was interested in it just to start studying it. As I was studying it, I learned that its top competitors were Amazon and Microsoft. Amazon is in cloud computing because they purchased a company by the name of Azure. Hopefully don't pick at me if I'm mispronouncing it. I know I read a thing, it's like A-Z-U-R-E. They purchased that, that's the cloud computing company. And Amazon purchased a cloud computing from, I think it was AWS or something like that. But Microsoft and Amazon purchased cloud computing. You know, when you're the big fish in the pond, you just buy everybody up. That's what usually you see companies do. Now, but what ended up happening was Snowflake is a company that does what these companies do, but they do it, that's all they focus in, right? It's like having some companies, I'm trying to think of a good example, where you have some companies that invest into different things, but they don't specialize in it, right? So when I looked at Amazon, I noticed that Amazon had invested in it. And I also know that Amazon had invested in different things, where Amazon had invested into it, Microsoft had invested into it as well. So right here, Microsoft sends the signal, guess what is doing so well for us? It has been our cloud computing, our intelligent cloud. Demand for our cloud services is increasing. So when I saw that, I remember seeing the sub company of Microsoft called Azure was inside of Snowflake's competition report. That was inside of their IPO as competition. So I said, wow, if your competitor has had an amazing year, what does that say for Snowflake? So it sends a signal by looking at it. Microsoft said our biggest thing that jumped year over year was cloud services. Snowflake was the biggest IPO of the year for cloud servicing. So now I'm very interested to see how Snowflake is going to be able to be inside of this space and compete very well, especially with all the backing that it has. That's the signal that I acknowledged. Y'all let me know what the signal that I read when I looked at Microsoft's number one way of making money for the biggest jump they had this year has been cloud computing. And I always said this, I know cloud computing, even though I don't understand it 100%. I know what it is, but I don't understand what it is all the way. But companies are getting away from having a bunch of file cabinets. Think about it. Companies are getting away from having big file cabinets. Banks are getting away from having these big file cabinets with all these files. They're now storing this data on the cloud. Now, Snowflake comes in. Not only does it store your data like you got a Google Drive or whatever, it takes the data and it can like help you with marketing. Like it takes the data and processes it and tells you that, oh, people that are 25 years old, they have only $500 in their account and they like to buy candy bars or whatever the case may be. This is a better way you can market to them. So Snowflake is taking your data and actually making your data useful to do something with. You know, like I have a Google Drive, I put a bunch of stuff on there and that's it. But Snowflake is taking your data. Cloud computing is the future. It's taking your data. Hey, put all this, you know, think about it, right? Let's say if I got this folder, I got a client comes in. Client tells me everything about them. I fold it. I put it inside of a. That wasn't smart. This thing's trying to read a green screen. Give me 1 second. I'm going to turn that off. None. All right. So here it is, right? I got this blue folder. Somebody comes in. The company takes it, and it just, boom. You put it in. You put it inside of a folder. I put it in the file cabinet. That's it. What they're doing with the cloud now is, hey, they're taking this data. They're processing it. And now they can come back and say, hey, majority of your clients are between the ages of 32 to 35, and they like candy bars, and they're from Michigan, and they have this type of income, and they call you every twice a week or whatever. So when you look at this, this is when you know, that's what made it very intriguing. But now, since I read Snowflake's IPO, and then I see Microsoft just say, hey, our number one moneymaker this year, like I just showed you guys and girls, our demand for the cloud is increasing. That's a signal that that's something in the future, cloud computing, right? Some people talk about airlines. Some people talk about blah, blah. LK Raw just spoke about it, looking for something with some growth. You have companies out there like CrowdStrike. You have companies out there like Snowflake. You have companies out there like Microsoft. I don't like Microsoft. I like my companies to focus into something. I don't want a company that's like, oh, we do green energy, plus we do food, plus we do this, plus we do that. No. I want the energy company to focus on energy. I want the cloud computing company to focus on cloud computing. That's the way I look at it. All right. D.R. Briggs said, do you foresee an airline bounce back despite the currently low earnings, i.e., I don't even follow AAL, but Southwest and Delta? It's going to be a while. You know, you're talking about these cases of spiking, stimulus packages are being held. We're right in the middle of election. I don't see anything crazy come this year unless the stimulus package get passed. But Southwest Airlines went up because there's only two ways to make to increase your profits in a company, right? Either you make more money or you cut the way you're spending your money. That's it. To increase the bottom line is only two ways. Either you make more money and keep your costs the same. Either your total revenue goes up, you keep the cost the same. That can increase your bottom line. When you're looking at airlines, of course, their revenue is declining. They're not making as much money as they were a year ago. So as their revenue decline, how can they increase their bottom line, that net income? That is to cut costs, lay off people. Don't do certain flights. Right? Hey, we're not going to fly that flight that every now and then goes to Oklahoma. We're going to cut that flight. So they're cutting flights. They're laying off people. I'm not saying it's the best thing, but they're cutting the costs inside of the company. That can increase themselves as well. And the best ones I've seen do it with Southwest. So what do you think about bandwidth? The company? Is that a company bandwidth or the bandwidth? I don't know about them off the top of my head. That had to be something I had to research and look into. All right. Blast Atomic Diesel says, what do you foresee with Apple earnings report tomorrow? This is the downside I see with Apple's earnings. The downside would be their outlook because of, you know, all of our phones, unfortunately, are made in China, right? With the pandemic, as it grows and worries about the growth or whatnot or whatever the case may be, I may be worried that this may be a bad look for production. It could slow their production down of the iPhone 12 because maybe workers may not be able to go to work. Workers may not be able to do XYZ. That's one of my issues that I may have. Right? So, but on the upside, Apple did a stock split, right? Apple did a stock split on the other day, right? So Apple did a stock split earlier this year with along with Tesla. So I believe they will have a nice little, I think they're probably going to make a, I'm thinking they probably make about $1 billion to $2 billion increase in cash due to a capital raise, right? Due to capital stock, that's going to show up on their cash flow statement and their balance sheet. So I think they're going to make money from that because they did the stock split. Apple and Tesla was the hottest companies of the summer. Everybody was buying into them before the stock split, after the stock split. I don't know how many people asked me about them. So they would do good on that end. But I'm concerned about their manufacturing of phones being done overseas. Their manufacturing of electronics in general is being done in, you know, how their outlook with the pandemic may look. That's the seesaw, right? So with the outlook of the pandemic, with coronavirus cases increases, how will this affect Apple overseas being able to ship things over here? So I think their outlook may scare some investors, but I think their finances are going to look beautiful. Finances are going to look good and strong. They're going to add $1 billion, $2 billion in cash, what I'm looking at. The iPhone 12 orders, that's going to be big. How many orders did they get for the iPhone 12? Because they did a big iPhone 12 release. But then again, I'm worried about their outlook with the growing concerns of the pandemic. How would their outlook look? That would be my look. Somebody here says stock. I don't know what you mean by stock. But let's see. Somebody asked a question about a company here. We got a little time now. Let me see. Can we get into this particular company here? Somebody had a company on here they wanted me to look at. See if I can find it. My airlines were late. See if I can find an S-Dow. Altor says, my portfolio is down 3.5%. Don't worry about it. That's not bad considering the whole market is down. You know, the whole market went down just today about 2%. Puff Puffer says, focus on companies like, you see this company here, if I'm not mistaken, that's the exercise workbenches and stuff like that. I remember looking into this company. This company was unprofitable. So I'll be a little weary of them. Uber has a big day coming up on Prop 22 as well. I cannot find it. Somebody asked me about a company earlier in the show. And I said, hey, we have time. I'll definitely look into it. But I can't find it now. Right? You know what? Let me pull this up. Let me show you guys and girls what I was talking about, what I saw in the IPO. Let's see here. Let's look at Snowflake. What is Snowflake stock symbol? I don't know. No matter. I find Snow. That's it. Let's take a look here. Let's see here. Let's take a look at this 8K. Is it inside this 8K? No. Here you go. I know how to find it. Snow. All right. I remember reading this before. I'm going to try to find this for y'all so y'all can see where I got the thing from. The it's up. Oh, it went up today. I didn't even know that. Snow went up today. That's big for everybody that's going down. Everybody got slaughtered today. All right, let's see here. SEC events presentations. Might be in here. Nope. Y'all bear with me here. I'm looking at. Finances, statement of ownership. Okay, let's take a look here. Is this it? Okay, this might be it. This might be it here. Remain. Y'all bear with me here a second. What's their revenues? Where's their competition? Now bear with me. I'm going to find it. I'm on the other screen going through it. Risk factors. Look at their risk factors. Over history of operational loss, continue to the future. Okay, here it is right here. Hopefully it's the right one. All right, so this is Snowflake's IPO, right? I'm looking at their IPO filing. So y'all know exactly where I got this from. This is their Form S-1, right? This is when it became, when they IPO'd. I read this report, because I'm weird like that, even though I didn't invest in them, not yet at least. So it's a pretty good report. It'll tell you the underwriters, who's putting the money behind them, who kind of set up everything. But right here, let's go to risk factors. It's up on the risk factors. Okay, they said the market, which operate in a highly competitive, and if we do not compete effectively, our business foundation, financial condition, and results of operations could be harmed. The markets in which we operate are rapidly evolving and highly competitive. As these markets continue to mature and new technologies and competitors enter such markets, we expect competition to be intense. Our current competitors include large, well-established public cloud providers, generally compete in all of our markets, including AWS, Azure, and GCC. Azure right here. That is owned by Microsoft. AWS is owned by Amazon. So when Microsoft said, oh, look at our cloud computing, they're speaking about Azure, which is Snowflake's number one competitor, meaning they're in the same space. If I see a bunch of money being spent into a space, I wonder how well-positioned is Snowflake to be able to take advantage of some of that money. That's exactly where I got that from. Right? So y'all can see where I got that from, how they connect. Would you be leery of DraftKings? Did I read into it one time? I don't think I ever read into DraftKings. I never really sat down and looked at DraftKings. Not one at this time interests me. I know a lot of people asked about it, but maybe their next earnings report, I will see and I will look more into DraftKings. Don't forget, Amazon earnings are going to be great. The only thing I'm concerned about Amazon is I saw that Amazon had a bunch of employees. I got burned on this in the beginning of the year. I saw that a bunch of Amazon employees tested positive for COVID. And since they tested positive for COVID, Amazon allocated $4 billion of its retained earnings to combat COVID. And that sent the stock down or whatnot. So now I just saw recently that a bunch of Amazon workers are complaining about having COVID and they having safety issues apparently. So I can see in the earnings report them talking about allocating a bunch of crazy money to stop it. That's the only thing. But other than that, Amazon is Amazon. They are the giants. They are built for this time, and they are thriving in this time, right? Plug Power. Okay, Lucky's mom says somebody asked about Plug Power. Let's take a look at Plug Power then. Where are we at? Plug Power. I never heard of that. Plug Power. Stop. It's a $14 stock. Plug Power is an American company engaged in design manufacturing of hydrogen fusion cells that replace conventional batteries. Okay. And equip vehicles powered by electricity. The company's headquartered in New York City had a revenue last year of $230 billion. Okay. Seems like it's a electronic battery maker that's pretty much going to be going some type of cars, electric cars. So I'll give me 1 second here. Plug is a stock symbol. Let's look at their 8K. They're only $14 right now. Let's see. Let me look them up on Yahoo Finance. That's up to Yahoo Finance. All right, this is Plug Power on Yahoo Finance. Let's look at their finances. Looks like they make energy, batteries or whatnot. Let's look at the annual. Okay, growing top line revenue for the last 3 years until before the COVID. Gross profits ran up good. Okay. Unprofitable. They got a negative net income. Total expenses. So it's an unprofitable company before COVID. Let's see how it has been performing since COVID. Well, one thing, let me get the quarterly report. Premium required to access quarterly data. What? Crazy. Let me go in here. Let me go over here and get the public data. Where are we at on here? Okay. So I got to look at the quarterly reports. They were doing okay before the pandemic. Let me see how are they doing? How have they been doing in prior quarters? Plug. Now I can find that out by looking at the 10Q report. Okay, here's the 10Q. All right, we're on that 10Q, making sure y'all can see it. We're going to look at their financial information. All right, this is for Plug. This is in thousands, so they got $394 million in current assets. How much in total assets? No total current total liabilities. Okay, so they got a decent amount of working capital. Total assets of that's pretty low. I'm looking, okay, there you go. $1 billion. Okay. total liabilities. Okay, so they got a positive net worth there. Shareholders' equity of 239. So their problem here is here. Sell of fuel cell systems and infrastructure, 47. Services performance on fuel, okay. So they're kind of increasing during the pandemic. Net revenue has increased. This time, June of last year, they had 57 million. Now they got 68 million. That's good. Revenue is increasing. 6 months, 79 to 108. Nice. Total revenue has increased. Gross profits. Gross profits last year was 10 million. This year, what cut into the gross profits? Ended in 3 months. So you can see here, they're missing. So last year they made 10 million more than this year. So I got to look and see what happened, what increased. It had to be the cost of revenue. Wow. Power purchase agreements. Yeah, you can see it right here. So last year they brought in $57 million, but the cost of revenue was only $46 million, leaving them with 10. This year they brought in $68 million, but their cost of revenue increased. So they only brought in 5. Operating expenses. So this is something I don't like. They're losing more money. They lost $11 million last year. This year, they're losing $26 million, right? You see that? So they're losing more money. I don't like that. Their loss is doubled. I'm not a fan of that. Now, knowing this, just looking at that right there, I have to look at their competition. What is their competition doing? So we just saw Plug Power. Let me take this off. I'm talking about something totally different now. We just saw Plug Power losing this much money. Now we have to ask the question, what is their competition doing? What's going on? Eric Higgins says, Plug Power produces hydrogen fuel cells systems, and their biggest customers are Amazon and Walmart. That's great, but I'm looking at their finances. Why are they losing more money? They pretty much doubled their losses from last year. Now I have to look at who is the number one competition to Plug. I have to go in further. I can find that out from their 10K report, the annual report, who the competition is, or I could use E-Trade to figure that out too. Is their competition losing like this? Because it could, the whole industry, the sector could be losing. Now when I look at this, I'm like, okay, he's losing. He's unprofitable. He are doubling up his losses. Who else out there is selling hydrogen fuel cells? What is their money looking like? Are they making more money? Are they looking as bad? So looking at it by itself, finances doesn't look too pretty, right? Eric says, I believe they're trying to get out of the red. I hope they are. I hope they're like, oh, these losses are fine. I hope they're trying to become profitable. But what is the competition doing, Eric? Who is the competitor? Who's another one that's out there? And if they're making money, why not invest into them or Plug Power? They're okay. So they're planning on being profitable by 2024. Now, if I know that, I will slowly start to look at the company and I will say, well, why did their losses just double? He said Ballard Power, Bloom Energy, and other companies like Toyota are working on fuel cells. All right, let's take one quick look. Let's take one quick look before I get out of here. Dollard. Now, look, I don't know anything about this sector, but this is how I look at a sector. Okay, Dow Power Stock. Okay, it's $14. Look at Bloom Energy. I'm looking to see if any of these companies. I know Toyota's probably is, but let's real quick, let's look at Bloom Energy. I'm just throwing up one of the competitors you said. BE, Bloom Energy. Let's look at their 10Q. I think y'all can see this, right? All right, let's look at their 10Q. Bloom Energy. Never heard of this company. Total assets of 440. Total current. Liabilities, 300. So we got 100 million. I think this is in thousands, right? Total assets of 1.2 billion. What's their total liabilities? Okay, so Bloom Energy has a negative shareholders' equity. Total assets of 1.2 billion. Total liabilities of 1.5 billion. Bringing down that shareholders' equity. Where's the shareholders' equity at? Or even did they even put it on here? Yeah, they got a shareholders' deficiency. They got a deficiency of 316. So I don't like that. Revenue, products. Revenue is decreasing on their products. Their total revenue has decreased. Their gross profits have decreased. So just by looking at those two real quick, from that quick look, I like the other one, the Plug Power, a little bit better. They're both costing $14. But when I'm looking at these two companies, it's looking like this sector. I haven't looked at the other one, but it's looking like this sector all are losing. It's like it's a losing sector, almost like Uber, Lyft, and all those guys are losers. So it seems like everybody's kind of fighting for the crown. But this one has a decline in revenue. I don't like that. Your revenue is going down. Your six-month revenue is going down. That's going the wrong direction. At least Plug Power was going up. That's my quick observation. All right. He says fuel cell. Hold on. What? We got Mr. Somerville said fuel cell is just hype. It is not a consumer product like the electric vehicle. Electric stations are filling up quickly. Okay. Yeah, when I'm looking at that, that's not that whole sector could be down. I'm assuming that as electronic vehicles and clean energy becomes bigger and bigger. I'm assuming that what's going to happen is that maybe they may be making the batteries for the electric vehicles or something like that. That's what I was assuming. But looking at that, I don't like it. I mean, I have to look more into that sector, but looking at those two companies, it looks like they're about the same price or whatever the case may be, but they're unprofitable. Bloom definitely looks worse than Plug Power. So if I was an investor, I would be following just off of those two. I would like Plug Power because at least their money is increasing. Revenue. At least they're making more money. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to be my time. If you guys like the show, you like the program today, hit that thumbs up button. Hit that share button. Tell your friends and your cousins. If you want to support me, if you want to read financial reports like a champ, go ahead and grab your Investor Show mug in the description box. And also, if you want to support me, check out the children's book series, Wesley Learns to Invest, Credit, and Insurance. Yes, we have children's books on investing, credit, and insurance. That's the way if you want to go out there and support me. I always tell people, don't donate to me, support me. Don't donate, support. Those books are available everywhere across the globe. They make even better Christmas gifts and all that other great stuff. So you learn all this stuff, you're hearing all this stuff, but what is it if we're not tuning it down? I got to get some reading done. I got to get some studying done before I go to bed. I'm working on 2 books. Got Mr. Jesse Livermore over here. Then, of course, I got my financial statements books over here while I'm in my office. So I thank you guys across the globe. She said, thank you for your time. Thank you. I thank you guys and girls across the globe for tuning in. Also, this show is also on Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts. I don't even know how many other, wherever you can get your podcasts is out there as well. So pick up your phone, hit that download button, subscribe button, get your wife or your husband's boyfriend phone, hit that subscribe button and like button, all of the good stuff too. So I thank you guys. I enjoyed it. I hope y'all got something out of this. Y'all are keeping me sharp, and I hope you stay sharp out there too. But until the next video, podcast, cartoon, and whatever else crazy you see me do around the globe, my name is Prince Dax. This is the Investor Show. Peace. Be safe. I'm out. And thank you.